will, turn in your Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 15. We're talking about God's being faithful. Well, God is faithful, folks. There's so many ways I can't count them all. But I thank God for every person here in this room tonight. You are a blessing to me. I know you're a blessing to God. You encourage me. And just keep on. We've got a great core of people here in this church. We have a revival coming up, or a Bible conference, whatever you want to call it. It's going to be a revival. And Brother Bob Pittman and Steve Swofford, I know you'll enjoy them. You come and be a part of that. Invite somebody, especially our own members. You're here tonight, but let's do this every Sunday night and just grow it till that time and just let it continue to grow. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Let me just fill in here. The church had begun to grow. Jesus says, go ye therefore all the world and make disciples. And his disciples are gone out. They're winning people in Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the world now. We know about Peter as he preached the word. We know about Paul as called into the ministry to minister to the Gentiles. And the gospel is spreading. And in the book of Acts, as we've gone through it kind of hurriedly, I'm just hitting the points in each chapter so you can familiarize yourself with how the church grew, and how God led people in the church, and how Paul is in the church, how Peter was in the church preaching, and how it spread out, and how it come over to us. Now, if you want an in-depth Bible study, you be here and listen to Brother Jay on Revelation. I'm just excited about that. Brother Jay, I'm going to try to come, so you let me know when you're going to start that. And this is what you learn and grow as you familiarize yourself with the passage. Well, how do you get saved? That's the discussion. It always seems to be a discussion among people when they get together, different denominations, different churches. How in the world can someone come to know Jesus Christ? What is required? Now, you might not understand this, but still in our Baptist churches, even in this church alone, and I'm not picking out anybody, but even in our own church, we have people that don't understand that Jesus Christ is all you need to get saved. You don't need the baptism. It's important, I believe, or we wouldn't do it. I believe Christ asked us to be baptized, and I think you need to follow through with your commitment to show your death, burial, and resurrection with Jesus Christ. I think the Lord's Supper is important, but these two ordinances are just that. They're ordinances. You're not saved because of these things. We have people that believe that if you are saved and you're not immediately baptized, if you go out those doors and die, then you're lost forever. That Jesus Christ was not enough. So that's what this discussion is about. All of these different groups of people were coming together in Acts chapter 15, and there's a conflict. So I want to ask you tonight, do you know how to lead someone to Jesus Christ? That ought to be, you ought to know that. I'm just saying, if you wasn't saved today, if you've been saved a little while, you ought to know how to lead somebody to Jesus Christ. You ought to be able to share the plan of salvation, give your testimony to them, and get them into Christ by leading them into Christ. Now, there's been different people preaching the gospel. And Paul and Barnabas have been preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. And they are testifying how God has opened the door to the Gentiles. And we sing some beautiful songs about God's marvelous grace and how the grace of God is moving out to all the people. But the Bible says certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the customs of Moses, then you cannot be saved. Now listen, people were being saved. Some of these people probably didn't know the circumcision of Moses. You see? They weren't Jewish people, so probably they didn't know all about this. And there's a dissension that rose up because Paul says, wait a minute. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. You see? Jesus Christ is the door, the only way of salvation. And there's a dissension there. No, they said, no, Paul, unless you've been circumcised, you cannot be saved. Now, in Antioch, they're rejoicing about people getting saved. They're going to heaven, and they were happy as they could be. And this group comes along and says, oh, no, okay, you're good. You're good as far as you get, but you know what? You haven't been saved all the way yet. There's a second blessing, as some people want to say. Well, they said, listen, Paul, these people have got to go through the circumcision. You've got to be circumcised according to Moses. It's not good enough just to believe and trust in Jesus Christ. You've got to do circumcision according to Moses. And then, you know what? You've got to also follow the Ten Commandments, you know, and if you're going to see them saved. Now, if you're saved, then how did you get saved? Did you go through Jesus Christ? Did you go through the old works? I'm keeping the Ten Commandments. Well, let me tell you how I got saved. I realized one day that I couldn't keep the Ten Commandments. I realized one day that I was lost. I was just flat lost. I was going to church, and even in church, I couldn't get saved. You see? Just going to church didn't make me saved. I said this morning, I was Sunday school superintendent for a whole year before I got saved. Baptist would put anybody to work. I found out a long time ago. I taught RAs and GAs. Never was saved. How can you do that? Well, I knew the Bible. I knew what the Bible said. I wasn't a dummy, and you're not dummies either. Probably you know the Bible, don't you? If I ask you how to be saved, you'd probably quote that scripture, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But yet, you know what? You can even quote that scripture and still be lost, because I quoted it for years. And I was just as lost. I would say one day I realized I was lost. I was in my sin. And how did I do that? It was the Holy Spirit convicting me that I was lost. You see, I was as good as anybody in the church. You can ask Rhonda. I was a good kid. I grew up in a household of believers. You can do all of that, can't you? But unless you realize that you're lost, and let me tell you something, sometimes it's hard for people in church to realize I'm lost. Yeah. It's hard for you to sit there and think, well, is he talking to me? Am I lost? Well, let me ask you, how did you get saved? Now, you ought to know that. How did you get saved? Just think about it. I repented, and by faith, I finally asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. Wasn't nothing that I did. It was all Jesus Christ. You see, I did what the Bible says. I realized, man, I'm fooling everybody in this church, but I'm not fooling God. And he's knocking on my door. You need to get saved, Booney. And let me tell you something. It's hard to walk down that aisle when you've deceived everybody in church. It is. It's hard to stand up and tell the preacher, hey, preacher, even though I'm your Sunday school superintendent, I'm lost as a goose. You know what he asked me when I came down? You want to rededicate your life to Jesus? Are you called to preach? I said, no, I need to get saved first. That's the first thing. Get saved. Well, these people, Paul said, well, these people here, they trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They repented, and by faith they've invited into their life, and this group says, oh, no, that's good, but that's not good enough. They've got to do something else. They haven't got the whole package, so to speak. You've got to be baptized in a certain way. You've got to be religious. You've got to keep all the ceremonies that the Old Testament talked about before you can get in our church. And that's the problem with so many things. It's their church and not God's church. You see, God says, no, that's not right. You do those things because you love me. You do those things because I've come into your life. But I am the only way to come to Christ. He is the door. He's the only door to get to heaven, folks. He said, I am the way, and there's no other way but through him. Now listen, these other things that are saying here, that's false doctrine. That's false teaching. If somebody stands up here and says, let me tell you something, you've got to be baptized before you can get, boy, that's bright right there. They put a mirror up there without me knowing it, man. I looked over that mirror and I saw people looking at me. If somebody tells you, okay, you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, now you've got to be baptized to get saved. That's Jesus plus something, isn't it? And Jesus plus anything is false doctrine. Amen. Folks, when it's Jesus and Jesus alone. If somebody tells you, well, you've got to speak in tongues before you can get saved, don't you believe it. Amen. Don't believe that. That's false doctrine, folks. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way. No other way. And the false doctrine is being taught today. Let me tell you something. False doctrine is being taught today to young Christians. And you know what? Mormonism pulls more Baptists out of churches than just about any other thing. You know why? Because we've got so many weak Christians today that don't know what they believe in our Baptist churches. They just come and they go and they don't do anything. So therefore, when the Mormon church comes into town, they're so family oriented, they can pull them right out of the Baptist churches, out of the Church of Christ, just about any denomination, because they will say, we love you and God loves you and come on in. And it sounds so good. A lot of people are going for that. But it's false doctrine. All the way around, folks. Now, Paul really got up into arms about this. When you talk about a dissension, he got up into arms about this. And let me tell you something. He had every right to. It's no little disagreement here. Man, that's a disagreement. Now, people tell me all the time, well, are you premillennialist, postmillennialist, amillennialist? Now, I can get along with a brother that is different there, if he wants to be. That's not going to play a part about your salvation. You better be saved no matter which one of you. But when it comes about false doctrines and leading your people astray, you better have your Bible right on these facts. And there's issues about doctrine that are so absolutely vital in the Bible that you don't go one way or the other on that. I believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. And there's some people today who will say, no, that's not right. It can't be. It never happened again. It just can't be. But it's a God thing, folks. And that's what the Bible says. And we better stick with that doctrine and not push it aside. I believe that he died and rose again. That is important things. You can't mismatch in those things. So Paul says, there was no small dissension and dispute with them. Boy, he got up into arms about that. And they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others should go up there to that Jerusalem church, to the apostles and elders, and question them about this. Folks, let me tell you something. I don't think our denomination will ever do that. But if our denomination ever pulls away from the Bible, we ought to get together and go up there and say, hey, somebody's wrong here. Amen. And we're not giving any more money or any more our missionaries to this thing until you get it right. That's about what they did with Paul and Barnabas. They went to discuss the matter of how to be saved. That is a very important question. And some people say, well, all you Baptists want to do is evangelize the world. Huh? That's right. That's all we want to do. That's what God says. You see, I happen to believe that that little girl that came this morning, you know, if she hadn't have come, she would have died. And is she here this morning? And gone to hell. Not because I love her. Not because she's a little girl or anything, but because we're all lost. And it was so important to see someone lead her to Christ that she might come, and now she has eternal life. You see? It's important. I believe in a place called hell. It's a literal place. I don't know where it's at, but I tell you, I don't want to go there. And if you believe that, like I believe that, one of the most important things in your life is to pull people out of that and put them into heaven. So yes, we're evangelistic. When people die, they either go to heaven or hell. There's no in between. There's no second chance. That's what the Bible says. So getting a person saved is a matter of most importance. And that's what Paul was trying to say. It's very important that we get this matter of doctrine right. Amen. It's not anything but Jesus Christ. Now, not only that, there was a discussion. I'm not going to read all of it, but I can tell you, you can go down through it and read it. About 4 down to 18, there's a discussion about the details. This council is meeting, and they begin the discussion, the doctrine of faith. And if you really want to get into it, go over and read Galatians chapter 1 and 2, and you'll get an idea of what's going on. But there happened to be a lot of discussion about how someone is saved. Some said, well, it's faith. Some says it's circumcision. Some says it's the law of Moses. And I thank God for Peter. The Bible says he stood up and said, men and brethren, God has opened the door. Listen, who opened the door? He said, God has opened the door to the Gentiles. Through this man Paul, God has opened the door of salvation to the Gentiles. It's no longer just to the Jews. It's to the whole world. He says, God opened the door. It wasn't man's idea. It was God's idea. Folks, salvation is God's idea. He said, he opened the door just as he did with us. And why? He says, why are you tempting to put a yoke? You know what a yoke was? A yoke on a cow or a yoke on a horse is to the something that they pull together with there. He says, why are you putting that burden of a yoke around our neck? The disciples or your fathers, they couldn't keep the law of Moses. And if we couldn't keep it, why are you putting this yoke around the necks of these other people? You know they can't keep the law. You know that. You know they can't keep the Ten Commandments. We have tried and we failed over and over again. So why burden people down with that? Well, that's a good question. Well, maybe you're trying, sitting here tonight, and you're thinking, well, now, what are the Ten Commandments? Well, let me just put it this way. If you're thinking that you can come to church and you can sit through service and you can go out here and live a good life every day without looking, being tempted to lust, if you can go out here every day and keep your mouth from speaking bitter words, if you can go out here every day and keep from doing something that's displeasing to God, you're probably trying to live in the Ten Commandments. But let me tell you something. Have you tried that? You just can't do it, can you? I was driving down the road the other day, and I'm a good person. I'm learning to be better all the time, I think. But, you know, it was nighttime, and I was driving down the highway, minding my own business, going about 60 miles an hour, putting a long air like a good Baptist should. Between the four-way road that gets out of Athens going on 175 to Frankston, there's a narrow little road. 4:30 in the morning, I'm driving down there minding my own business. and this guy come flying up behind me, turned his lights on bright. Get right up on your bumper. Don't that just make you mad? I got to say, I broke the Ten Commandments. If I could, I'd have got out and shot his tires out. I tell you. I was packing too, brother. I had the heat on. And I said, man, you don't want to pull me over tonight. I pulled over and let him by. And waved. Boy, but I was a little bit aggravated. Not a little bit, I was a whole lot. I hate it when somebody blinds you with those high bright lights just because they're in a bigger hurry than you are. But you know what? We can't do that, can we? We cannot help but get a little aggravated and mad. And that's sin, folks. That's sin. And to God, sin is sin. And I broke the Ten Commandments, and I'd have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not going to get to go to heaven now because I broke your Ten Commandments. I wasn't saved by those Ten Commandments. I was saved by God. Amen. And he knows that we have weaknesses like that. He knows we lose our temper. And I confess, I said, Lord, forgive me for thinking bad about that guy. You see, I knew it was wrong the moment I did it. But, you know, we just lose our cool. And I know this man down here loses his too. I didn't say a name. I just pointed down here, you know. I've been with him. I know. And he usually packing too. But you know what? It's by God's grace we're saved. And I'm so thankful I don't have to worry about that. Yes, I try to live right. I try to obey God's every command. But you know, we're not perfect down here. And we fall, don't we? We do fall. And God knows that. And Paul knew that. And that's what he said. Listen, guys, y'all putting something on these guys that they can't do. Why burden them down? Jesus says it's him and him alone. You know? Peter says, he's saying everybody has to be saved the same way. And that way is Jesus Christ. That puts us all out there. There's only one way. No Ten Commandments, no circumcision, no baptism. Then all the multitude kept silent. Man, after Peter started talking about that, you know, I'd have kept silent too. I can hear those guys right now thinking, man, we done stirred up a hornet's nest down there. Well, Barnabas and Saul, in verse 12, Barnabas and Paul spoke up and they declared, listen, here's the miracles and the wonders that God is doing amongst the brethren down in Antioch. He's doing amongst the Gentiles. And Paul, I know he preached a message there. He simply told how Jesus Christ had moved in and by faith started saving the Gentiles. And he said, listen, they're not keeping the law. They don't know nothing about circumcision and all of that. They're not, you know. He said it's not circumcision of the flesh, but it's a cutting away of the heart that really matters in a person. And God does that, you see. It's with the heart men believe unto salvation. And then old James speaks up. He's a half-brother of the Lord, you know. And he said, you know what, Pastor? Most people think he was pastor at Jerusalem. But you know what? He stands up in verse 13 and says, after they had become silent, man, they've been listening to old Paul. James answered and said, men and brethren, listen to me. I want you to hear what I've got to say. He says, Simon has declared how God at first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agreed, just as it is written. They begin to agree that, you know, it's not baptism. It's not the Lord's Supper. It's not circumcision. It's through Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. And the first thing I want you to know is salvation is imperative for you to go to heaven. Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you're a good man, I know, but you must be born again. And Jesus began to explain to him how to be born again. You see, he said, Nicodemus, salvation is individual. It's not you and a group of people. It's individual. I cannot be saved for you. Grandpa, grandmama, I was sitting there thinking the other day, I'm so glad that I've got a grandpa and a grandma that love Jesus. I do. And I had my daddy's mother and grandpa loved Jesus. They were Methodists, but God help them, we understand. You know? Praise God, I believe they're in heaven too, you see. And it was not my daddy that got me into heaven. It wasn't my Sunday school teacher that got me into heaven. But I tell you what, they told me about Jesus. And through their witness, Jesus touched my heart. And I was saved, you see. It's personal. The Lord is my shepherd now. It's personal, you see. And third thing is, salvation is inward. It's not outward. It happens in the heart. You see, all that I was going through, let me tell you something. I played the piano since I was about 8 years old at churches. I couldn't even touch the pedal. I had to sit on books just to reach the piano. And I could have said, but you know what, God, I've been playing your music all my life. It didn't do one bit of good for God. That wouldn't have got me into heaven. I could have said, Lord, I've been going to church ever since, you know, I sit there and listen to all of those preacher sermons. They were dry, but I listened to them. Wouldn't have gotten me into heaven. Wouldn't have gotten me into heaven. I could have said, you know, Lord, my daddy is a deacon in the church up there, and he led music. God said, Booney, you can't come that way. You've got to come by the way of being born again. Purify your hearts by faith. Here's where the division and discussion really begin. Salvation is imparted. It's not earned. God gives you that salvation. It's something that God does for you. You see, we didn't deserve it, did we? I couldn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. But God did something for me. And let me tell you, every one of you in here, you didn't deserve it either. And if it hadn't been for God imparting that to you, and through His power of the Holy Spirit convicting you that you needed to get your life right, why did you come back tonight? Because God spoke to you this morning, didn't you? And you made a commitment that you was going to come back. Well, it's something you do for yourself. You see, God speaks to you, and it's something that you say, Lord, well, salvation is not something for you to do, but you have to act on it by faith, you see. I can't do it for you. You have to do it yourself. You have to believe God's word and simply by faith step out and come to Him. Give your life to Him. Make a commitment to Him. When I made that commitment, I didn't feel awestruck. I didn't see a blinding light like Paul, but I knew in my heart something changed. Something changed. My attitude, you see. I had a man tell me that, preacher, one of these days when I can live it, I'll get saved. And I told him, you'll never get saved then because you can't live it. If you ever get saved, it's going to be because of God's grace. Paul had tried all the doors. You go back and look at his life. He said, I've been through all of those things, but on the road to Damascus, God struck me down and led me to Him. You see, he got saved. Now, let me ask you a question. If you're here tonight, how did you get saved? There was a dissension and there was a discussion, and then there was a decision. James agreed in verse 20. Let me read what it says in verse 20. But that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, things that strangle, and from blood. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues and the Sabbath. There's a decision. And they said, listen, we have decided that it's only by faith that you can come to Jesus Christ. But here are some very practical practices to consider, guys. When you're saved, abstain from all of these sexual immoralities. Get away from those things. Flee. I would say to you, when you get saved, don't go back to doing the same old thing you used to do. Don't go out there to the beer joints. Don't go to the gambling halls. Don't go wherever sexual things might be. Just stay away from those things, you see. That's practical. But Paul, I skipped the whole verse, didn't the whole chapter, verse 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols. He said, don't do those things. From blood. You see, abstain from those things. You will do well, he says. Farewell. You see, there's no question about it. James says you're saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul says there's no doubt about it. You're saved by faith in our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. But listen, when you're saved, then you have some responsibilities. I have responsibilities. We are to abstain from things. That's what repentance means, to turn your life around. When you're saved, you turn your life around. And you start living for God. You don't go to those things and do those things or pollution, you see. Now, how did you get saved? Jesus Christ or the religious door. People of all times think, well, I don't know, but I've gone to church all my life. Well, that's the religious door. The only door to salvation is through Jesus Christ. So we've got to quit trying to live good lives and realize that Jesus is the only way that we can be saved and just give our life to Him. And you know what? It's not easy. It's not easy. If I stood up here and told you it was going to be an easy road, I'd be lying to you. It's hard to live for Christ every day. There's all kinds of the worldly things out there trying to draw our people away. But you know what? One thing I found out, God doesn't expect you to be perfect overnight. I don't expect a newborn babe to learn to walk just like that. You start out with where you are. You start out with knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord and you're going to put your life in Him. And then you start reading your Bible and you start growing as a Christian. And after you start growing as a Christian, you find yourself pulling away from the old friends you have in life. You see? You're abstaining from those things. And yes, you're going to lose some of those old friends. You can pray for them. You can witness to them when you can. But don't go to the bar with them anymore. You see? Abstain from those things. Jesus Christ says, I have died for you. I want you to go to heaven. And I want you to come. The only way to come, Paul says, is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, you're here tonight, and I pray that you have already gone through that door. You're on your way to heaven. But listen, if you're not, there's no better time than right now to get it right. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the study. And Lord, we thank you that you are the only way to heaven. And Lord, if there's someone here tonight for the first time realizes that they've been trying to live their life and going to church all their life, but they've never really given their heart to you, tonight may be that night that they come simply by faith and say, here I am, just as I am. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.